Of course, I'm going to read our scripture text that we used last week to get started. Thank you. If you need a Bible study, raise your hand. Brother Paul will get you one. The biggest lie ever told. John. Do what? Yeah, Sister Judy's going to be in a talkative mood. Thank you. Do you have the microphone there, or you want him to use one of these? John chapter 3. Well, I wonder why. John chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 15 through 18. It's a familiar verses of Scripture. Many of us can quote some of them or even all of them. But in the book of John, chapter 3, it says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I just want to read just a little bit, at least the first paragraph or so, of the introduction. I know some of you weren't here last week, but the biggest lie ever told to humanity is that God doesn't care about you or your problems. That is a lie from Satan himself that he has spread for generations upon generations. And for every generation of people, people have said God doesn't care and he doesn't understand how miserable my life is, but he does. In that second paragraph, Our Savior absorbed into himself the justice that you deserved. So in other words, he took upon himself all the ravages of sin for our bad behavior. Now we receive what we do not deserve, which is we don't deserve God's favor, God's compassion, God's love, or even the gift of eternal life. Not one of us. But thank God for his love for mankind. We took a look at three different aspects. Seven truths about the love of God. The first one was the love of God is unconditional. He doesn't look to see past record, what you're going to do in the future either. His love is for everyone. How do we know that? For God so loved the world. The second love factor of God is it is sacrificial. He gave freely, but more importantly, Jesus Christ also freely gave his life, his body, for all of us. John 15, 13, and 14, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I want, whatever I command you. Amen. But it all is sacrificial in him coming. And the last one that we looked at last week was the love of God is valuable. You can't put a price tag on Jesus giving it all for us. Not my will, but your will be done. How do we know that? God gave his only begotten Son. Probably wouldn't have been much easier if there had been two or three sons. Still would be hard to send your son knowing that he was going to have to end up dying. So let's take a look at the fourth. The love of God is personal. It's as personal as you make that commitment to him. Why? Because you see, God's love is not a concept or a philosophy or even a theological thought. God's love is personal to each one. Does that ever change? That's a question. She's still being rebellious.
It's still in force and will ever and ever and ever in force.
The thing that we have to remember about God's love is it never changes, but our needs, our concerns, our wants, our desires, we change. So when we change, we need to remember still, God's not trying to be mean to us. And you stop and think, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Some people could take offense to that. But think about letter B. Jesus Christ came to this earth to reveal to us the love of God in human form. In human form. Letter C, personal because through a person, Jesus Christ and the cross, he bestowed, he gave, he saturates us with his love. Max Lucado writes, several psalms celebrate God's love, emphasizing its steadfastness, faithfulness, and enduring nature. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Everyone. Not one is overlooked. And he goes on to say other verses highlight God's compassion, God's grace, and God's love that surpasses human understanding. Number five. Does anybody have any comments or questions on number three or four? It's personal. That's why it's so important for us to understand that we have to have that one-on-one relationship. We need to utilize everything that God has given to us. We always know that He's the Father, who the Son is, and the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Number five, then. The fifth truth of the love of God is accessible. He never slumbers nor sleeps. Like some of you are doing right now. Just messing with you. How do we know He's accessible? For that little phrase, that whosoever, whoever believes in Him. It just takes simple faith. It's not limited to a select few. We don't have jumps through hoops. We don't have to run the gauntlet to get God's blessings. From the human perspective, when you compare God to the other gods of the world, you have to say that God is not normal. He does not use the things of this world except for the benefit of us and Him. Letter D. He is not the above us God, too holy to come down. We do not have to rise to His level. We just have to place ourselves in His care, in His mercy, and He will shower us with His love. God is not a distant God who loves us only from some mystical, faraway place. He's not a million miles away. He's ever present. He's all knowing. The simple part of God's love hinges upon you and your response to Him. Will you only believe? He's not a distant God. His love hinges upon you and your response to that love. How do we do that? By choosing to believe Him. To believe in Him, you have access to all the love of God. By believing in Him, you have access to the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. God does not remember past sins if you ask for forgiveness. And lastly, By believing in him, you have access to the new life that only he can provide. What did Jesus say? I am. The way, the truth, and the life. Someone have a comment before we go to six? I fib to you, brother. I'm probably going to need a two-bottle night tonight. She's getting me one. Yeah, it's... What's the difference between that one and this one? Number six. The love of God is non-judgmental. The commercials crack me up, even though I don't watch a lot of them. That's why my wife won't sit and watch TV with me. I can watch three movies, two games. Doesn't matter what sport, baseball, football, basketball, college, pro. But God's love is not judgmental. He's always in the forgiving mode. How do we know this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, the Holy Ghost convicts us. Remember, in the storyline, we are to be fishers of men. God, the Holy Ghost, is a fish cleaner. We can't do it as much as we would like to. For example, just look at someone in here. They were joking around. Together 60 plus years. We've been married 30, 40. Lord, I'm going for sainthood. What is it? 46. Lord have mercy. Do we still get into fights? Yeah. Disagreements, I should say. But she always apologizes. Just kidding. I think of what our evangelist said on our last Wednesday last month. In a marriage, if you get into an argument with your spouse, and you bring up something that happened in the last argument, you haven't forgiven her or him. We need to forget it, because God forgets our sins towards him. Letter A, number 6. God's goal in sending Jesus Christ was not to condemn you or to show you how bad you are or how unworthy you are or hopeless you are. God's only desire was to show you his love and draw you into a relationship of love with him. Again, Jesus didn't come into the world to rebuke you, but to rescue you. He did not come into this world to criticize you, but to pardon you. He didn't come into this world to destroy you, but to deliver you. And I was saying about the commercial, Jesus gets us. Like that's some right or some excuse that he just winks and overlooks. But there's always consequences to our actions, good and bad. Hopefully when we get more of the love of God in us, there's more good rapport with him. Amen. Number 7. I'm not even going to bother to ask on this one. We'll just go into it. The love of God is just and righteous. Verse number 18 of our text. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. There's a difference between judging the unrepentant sinner and being judgmental. Judgmental just simply means that one has a critical spirit, that only one looks for the bad in people and then is quick to condemn. You've heard me say my story at my life shortly after getting saved. The guys I used to run around work with from work, they could see the difference in my life before and after Christ. But the one guy that I was trying to witness to, I knew he believed somewhat. But he said, but it's easier to hang on to the negative part, which is so true. That's never left me. But I thank God that I'm changed. And anyone can be changed. Why? God will judge you for your sins and even sentence you to hell, but only at the last resort and only after his son's dead body. Only if you refuse his offer of forgiveness. It's still your choice. I like what Joshua said. As for me and my house, will serve God. Why? Because God doesn't send you to hell. You choose smoking over non-smoking. Had to get that one in there. Let's look at the conclusion. And I know we've, in our troubles, in our trials, in our tribulations, we've all been in the condition of starting to believe the lie of the enemy. that many a times God doesn't care for us. He doesn't have any concerns. He's like some of our dogs in our home, letting them in and out to go to the bathroom. You have to say, do you need a special invitation? The door's open, go. And then we have two dogs that are pretty slow. He should have been named Eeyore. But God's love, if you think God does not love you because you have faults and have sinned, I want to tell you that God Himself came in the flesh to experience what you go through every day, and He understands you better than you realize. There is some truth to that commercial, Jesus gets us. But it's not a wink, wink, nod, nod. He gets you. He knows where you're at, what you're struggling with, what you're going through. But that's why He came to this earth, because of God's love for you. So if you do not know Him as Savior, come and let Him show you His love today and tomorrow and the day after that. Because God's love grows on us, and we should mature and grow in God's love. I like what someone said. Someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. But then they went on to say, He doesn't say we have to turn back to the right one. We can just lay hands on them. Come out in Jesus' name. Does anybody have any comments? Wait for the microphone, Sister Judy. He's done. She's done. Richard. Now you're scared of it or what? Does anybody think she talks too much? Which one talks more, Mark or Sister Judy? Yeah. Who's got the keys, brother? You're in trouble. We'll take you home, brother. You got a ride. No comments?